We are discussing the first cause of the Holocaust that's said by various sources, and that is the rampant assimilation that was prevalent in Europe at the time prior to the Holocaust, and that that was the cause of such a tragedy. So I decided, instead of stop doing this with the what I usually mention, either Tisha B'Av or other times, to go into this a lot more fundamentally. And there are like four or five Sforim that speak about this at length and that are constantly quoted about the dangers of assimilation and how that links to Galus and tragedies in Galus and destructions. They are the following: Rabbi Yaakov Emden, and then there is the Meshech Chochma, famous Meshech Chochma. And instead of just quoting his bottom line, I'd like to learn it inside, see what he says. There's a famous Netziv. He has a special, what's it called, a special chibur, about 10 prokim long. It's not a sefer, but it's called Sher Yisrael, I think that's what it's called, which speaks about the concept of assimilation and galus and tsaris, anti-Semitism. And then there's a famous Beis Halevi in Shmos, and a Michtam Eliyahu, and an Achiezer. Those six sources. So over the next week or two, including tonight, I'd like to learn them inside. And whatever we have to add, we'll add. And then we'll see how that specifically, the principles that they say, apply to pre-war Europe, pre-World War II, and why that could have been, based on what the circumstances were, why that could have been a cause for the Holocaust. So the Rabbi Yaakov Emden was the first, since historically he came first, and he says that the following. I'm not going to read you the whole thing, but parts that are very pertinent with the Meshech Chochma. I doubt if we'll have time for that tonight, but that I'd like to go through the whole thing pretty much with maybe one or two lines left out, just because they're not really that okay. But Rabbi Yaakov Emden says the following. This is in the Shar HaDelek, which is Dinei Tisha B'Av. He says the following: Ki mizeh nimshechu kol shar haros. All the evil things that befell Klal Yisrael in Galus came from the following: Shamon am ruba kikulo bedarcheihem nafshem chateitza. Because most of the people are interested in following the ways of goyim. Ulezeh kol magmosam yigion v'tirchosam. And this is their entire effort they put into trying to copy the goyim, redifosum achramamon, running after money, so they'd be able to keep up with the Joneses, literally, not just keep up with the Schwartzes, keep up with the Joneses. Lamalos sa'osam, afim nishar minigavosem b'deyem, even those that still remain from, with the tradition of their fathers, Mitzvah Sanashim Ulumada, that it remains just by rote. It's not really significant to them. Karov Hashem Bethiyem, Barachok Mikil Yoseyem. God is on their tongue, but far away from their inner thoughts and inner ideas. Lahachzik Bekvichemdo Hanechmoda Vahamechubedes, Gam Beine Kolo Amin, Hayodim Umakirim Kvoda, Vechokrim Vedorshim Bo. Even they, what's it called, basically have no too much connection to the Torah, which even the Goyim, Torah Shebichsav, right, learn, and they know. Halavai, shiyu b'nei aneinu b'kiyim b'mikra kamoen. Halavai, many Jews should be as proficient in the written Torah as the Goyim are. Luvai zos for you rabbi me'ame ha'aretz mashlichem ulame aleim. And if it wouldn't be just because it's tradition, most of these people would give up from Kairo altogether, because that's not what they're interested in. They're interested in keeping up with the Goyim. Umechabkim umeskanim bohem lishnai b'kishutei m'bosheyem. They try to keep up with the styles of the Goyim in clothing. Uneshem b'nei v'noseyem, the same thing with their wives and children. B'diyu gavu b'chol moda chadasha. With great, they're medactic very much, not so much in mitzvahs, they're medactic in the kinds of clothes they wear to make sure that they're the latest fashions. Machmirim alatsum adapting b'em yosem yo'ami mo'ein ha'mishachim osam. Sometimes the Jews are more medactic in those fashions than the people who make the fashions. U'la'olim tira afilim mishoreses yehudis. Loveshes miad malpush moda chodesh bascholoso b'terem nispashi ben hamon am ha'aris. Right, sometimes you see a Jewish servant, right, a cleaning lady, who dresses with the goyish fashions before it spreads amongst the goyim. Right, they get it first.
How long ago was this written?
This was written in the 1700s. V'chol bigdei tzivonim chadoshim im yishonim eino mashpikim lahazbiya tavosim v'chemdosim liros bom lahosiv aleim eini koroeim. Women can't get enough of the new fashions to wear things that everybody will take notice of, and they should catch everybody's attention. Yosem mizu choshin hashorim, and even that, the men are even more fashion conscious than the women were then. And these men want to be like women because they shave their beards. So they look, and they're payous, and they look more like women than they look like men. And by shaving, they're over 10 isurim every day, right, just to be able to look, you know, fashionable. And they look to dress with the style of the Goyim in the most fastidious way. Goyim aren't so fastidious in being makbid to dress the way that these Yidden dress. Yisrael tomid mitsuyin habazeyu nikorim la'am Hashem kulo zera emes kriyim bonim. Leman yedu hashogim the yischartu ha'over the yikomu ma'onim v'lo na'alim mehem chomer inyonim. So in order these people should realize what they're doing, that's why he's writing this. Then he says, Zos hoysa chatos avosein v'bayis rishon. This is what happened by Churban Bayis Rishon, why the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Nisavu alechs m'hogim musei umos asher tzvoseim. What was the sin? That they tried to copy the Goyim around them, to serve the idolatries that the Goyim served. They wanted to be like the Goyim. The Ohavu Chemdas Kishuteim Abusheim V'Choshku Aleches B'Darcheim V'Shuv Dovku Gambit Noseim. What happened from that was that trying to copy the Goyim, they ended up intermarrying. And because of that, what's it called? Achar Kach Ishlichu Kol HaTorah Achar Gav, and eventually they gave up the Torah completely. And went after the Avodah Zorah of the nations around them. And that's what's called, same thing in Bayis Sheni, he says, destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash. Bereshis Michosom Acher Shenesu Ezra V'Siyoso, after Ezra and his generation died, right? Kom Dor Acher V'Chosel Ishtabek Bohem V'Nisavu L'Tiulehem V'Litzchokehem Tartios V'Karpisoyos V'Tstadios. They tried to go and copy the Goyim, go into their theaters and their Olympiadas and their theaters and circuses. So I don't even want to mention them. And then even worse than that, they went after the Greek and Roman philosophies. And after they became enamored with those philosophies, then they started to follow and put them into practice and totally abandoned Yiddishkeit. Right? And gave up the Torah for all these false philosophies. And then he goes and he says, and these people who thought they were big philosophers didn't know too much about philosophy. They didn't know too much Torah. So they ended up bald in both respects. He says, when I was young, I learned these philosophies. So I know what they are. And I've come in contact, he says, in his generation, with people who have left Torah to become philosophers. And they're pseudo-philosophers. He said, Baruch Hashem, I had the wisdom to give it up or to take out what was good from it. But these people don't even know what they're talking about. They're pseudo-philosophers. So that was in his time. And there's another thing he says. People don't speak Hebrew. Because of that, they can't really learn Torah. Not properly. Because the less Hebrew you know, the more you make things and make mistakes in what you're learning. And not everything can you learn in English. He said, instead of learning Hebrew, they learn French. And what's it called? And the French language, he says, is obviously full of nivel and taiva, whatever. It's all purpose of the language. And the Mela, they're brought into other things. So he says, that's in his time. That's in order to be like the Goyim, you have to be educated. French was the language of the world. And then he says that, then he goes back to shaving, looking like women, in order to be like the Goyim, wearing the clothing and all of the accoutrements of Goyim. And then being very comfortable in the lands that they live and not wanting to go back to Eretz Yisrael at all, not even thinking about Eretz Yisrael, but thinking you're a citizen of the country you are and this is where you belong. So all of that is to assimilate. And even people remain frum, but the frumkeit is just on the surface. There's nothing deep. And the Mela, all these things are in order to blend in with the Goyim and to copy them. And from here, he says, comes all the tragedies of Golus. First of Beis Hamikdash, second Beis Hamikdash, he mentions Tach V'Tat, right? And he said, what's it called? The Spanish Inquisition. All these things, basically, he attributes to assimilation. And not only assimilation of intermarriage, but even the stages of assimilation before that, that are practiced by Jews who still keep mitzvahs. But they want to be like the Goyim. This idea in Miami, people used to come to me before Pesach with ads from the Jewish press about cruises to the Bahamas for Pesach. Okay, now people have gone way beyond that. Right. Now that's nothing. That's right. So, and there's nothing wrong with taking a cruise. Even to the Bahamas, even though Bahamas sounds a lot like Bahamas. But that's not the point. The point is why. Somebody wants to take a cruise because they need the fresh air, the relaxation. But these were retired people who had more fresh air in their backyard in Miami than getting seasick on a boat. So why'd they want to do it? Because it was a status symbol. Because that's what the Goyim do, and the Mela Jews want to do it. And you could say you took a cruise. You went to the Bahamas. Today it's Hawaii and Puerto Rico and a million other places that I don't know what you didn't have to do there. Except, you know, maybe find a tsunami or whatever. Kiruv, right. What? Solid? So it said over these things. So always, you know, check out the four halakha of Shulchan Aruch. It said, okay, lefi Aruch Chaim, Shabbos, Pesach, Yeridea, is it kosher? You know, everything they had. They had starim and shiurim and shuffleboard and everything equal over there. But the question is that really what the Rabbanu Shalom wants a person to do on Pesach? To be on a cruise to the Bahamas? or is that just to make the Yiddishkeit glatt kosher, but glatt kosher goyishkeit? Again, Moshav Matityahu is not really, you know, one of the burning issues that people are going to go to the Bahamas for Pesach. But the idea is there. It's, is this something that's really the purpose of what the Rabban Shem wanted us to be? Or he wanted us just to be glatt kosher, but glatt kosher goyim? That's the question. Okay, in any case, I had planned to go through the whole Meshech Chochma tonight, but we got a little carried away with elevators. So in Yirtzeh Hashem, next week we will go, first thing, but before we go to Hilchos Shabbos, we'll go through this Meshech Chochma. It's kedai at one time to hear the Meshech Chochma from beginning to end. It's an unbelievable study in the history of Klal Yisrael and Golus, how it works, and he wrote this in 1919 maybe, or 1909, way before Hitler ever came to power. And he prophesied in there that there was a Holocaust coming. So before it was, anybody could even think of such a thing. And he said why, what he sees. And that's, it's good to hear what he has to say. And then Amir Sashem, in the weeks to come, we'll go through that Netziv, the Achiezer, and the, what's it called, the Beis Halevi, and the Michta Melio. And then we'll, Amir Sashem, go to this book that I told you, The Fury Poured Out, and see how it applies to pre-war Europe.